All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to be talking about fall transition. This will be our first episode. We're going to probably have a couple, but before we start talking about this, we're going to talk about this episode being brought to you by PonchoOutdoors.com.
Oh yeah, speaking of Poncho Outdoors, guess what I got in the mail?
Did you get
two days
you
ago?
You got another one?
Oh yeah, buddy, my Poncho Outdoors long sleeve baby blue shirt.
Perfect.
It's perfect. It's great. Perfect. I mean,
Your eyes are gonna pop.
Oh, it's amazing. So it comes in right.
And would you get the slim fit?
No, come on.
He didn't.
So I opened it up and I'm thinking, all right, let's check this bad boy out as far as really going through all the stuff that we liked about it that made us go and buy it.
Yeah.
And magnets on the pocket, the lens cleaner patch at the bottom works great.
I like the UPF 50.
Yep, and the shirt fits good. It's got the breathable holes across your back that work great. I mean, it is really a great shirt. So the next goal is get it out this weekend on the water and let's see how it rolls.
That sounds perfect. So here's the deal, guys. Order your shirt from PonchoOutdoors.com, and if you use the code, the promo code, All Eyes on Fishing, you're gonna get a free hat with it. So
money back guarantee.
Everybody loves a hat.
Yep.
Right.
And, yep. Money back guarantee. And,
can't go wrong.
Yep. And they're coming out with new styles every week. So for the next few weeks, it's a new style every week.
PonchoOutdoors.com.
PonchoOutdoors.com.
Cool. So fall transition one. What are we doing now?
Hey, we're missing something.
What?
Well, this is the first broadcast from our new studio, Walleye One.
Walleye One. I hope it sounds better.
I hope it sounds better, too. So we put in some time and some effort and some cheese, and this is the first podcast from Walleye
they
One
got
Studios.
That. Okay, first podcast. So,
if anybody missed that,
yeah. All right. Nobody cares. So let's talk about transition. What are we doing right now?
Right now, fall. We're moving into fall, full steam ahead.
You know, we're doing this a couple weeks before there's definitely the fall bite starting in different areas. There's still a lot of that summer pattern that you can still catch walleyes, but getting this out, starting thinking about it, you know. There's times that you can do the fall transition bite right now in different lakes.
Sure.
Depends on what lake you're at. There's definitely, this would be very applicable once that water temperature starts dropping a little bit more.
Well, and it's not just water temperature. Let's remember what kicks these fish off.
Yeah, I know, but that's kind of what gets people to remember when you're going to start.
And it does, but let's make sure that everybody else knows that what really kicks off the quote-unquote fall bite isn't just the fact the water temperature's dropping. It's the fact that you have shorter days, shorter light, your nights are cooler, everything is starting to kind of, you know, it's shift towards that fall time, and the fish are noticing it, and the bait fish are noticing it, and so that also starts to kick off the fall bite. So if you're sitting there saying, well, it's still 98 degrees where I live, well, that's fine, but they're still going to start transitioning to fall based
on
that.
But the light, now start looking at your light. It's starting to get darker a little bit sooner.
In
2 weeks from now, it's going to be another 15, 20 minutes, and that's noticeable to the fish. That's
right.
You're right, but it's easy for guys to remember the water's getting cooler.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, and the water is starting to get cooler, and, you know, of course, up north, you know, and in Canada, it's getting cooler faster. So,
yeah.
But it's important to know that now this is where those fish start to transition. And we talked about it a little bit in the last podcast, but this is where they really start to move to a little bit deeper. You know, they're gonna stack up on humps. They're gonna stack up on the end of points,
especially during the day.
And they're really gonna concentrate. I mean, if you find you know, some fish marked on the bottom on structure, you may see three or four arches, but chances are there's 50. You know, I mean, they're going to be there in numbers.
You know, that's what I was going to bring up. It is kind of the time where they start to group up a lot more and go to those specific kind of structures. And, you know, all summer long, they're in all shallow, deep, you know, everywhere in the lake, where in the fall, they start to target those more specific structures.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then they, and they're also, you know, as they do that, they're starting to transition their way, you know, up the lakes. They're starting to move back towards those areas where there's going to be spawning. So they're starting to move back towards rivers. They're starting to move back up, and it doesn't mean they're going shallow, but it means they're out there, they're feeding, and they're going to start moving as, at the same time. And that's important to know that they are going to start. I mean, it's all about the
food. Like right now though, this, so I'm talking, starting to get dark. Normally in the summer it gets dark, so we'll do time, so it's relative to anybody that's listening to this podcast. So normally in the summer, it gets dark, let's say 8:45, right? Something like that.
Well, I think it's
9 o'clock, 8:30, 9. I don't
know. We're talking July.
July. No,
when it's summer. Right. Mid-summer. When it's summer, yes.
When
right.
It's summer.
Right.
Yep. So now it's starting to get dark about 8.
Yeah.
Right. So it's starting to lose that time. So that's when the transition starts, kind of start thinking about it.
Right.
But right now, while you still have that later daylight, we're talking, this is transition one. We're getting ready to fall. We're not into fall yet. So this is a great time to be out night fishing
right now. Yeah, night fishing is probably your best chance right now.
So best chance. And we're talking shallow, really shallow, cranking.
But not shallow as far as you're fishing up along the bank.
No, you could be over 100 foot of water. 100
foot of water. They're going to be suspended, and they're going to be up because the bait's going to be up.
Yeah.
And that is going to be your, again, just like springtime, that's the warmer water is going to be closer to the surface at night.
You know,
the balls of bait fish are going to be stacked up there.
Well, just the other day, I read a guy's post on Facebook. I don't know who he was, but he was talking about, I haven't caught a walleye like in a month. I've been deep. I've been shallow. I've found weeds. I found rocks. He listed every element there could be in the lake, right? Except for that open water, shallow, right. Suspended evening. Bite and end at night, it's during the day.
You can catch them during the day, but at night, it's just like, it's not even fair.
Yeah. And night, it's pretty crazy. And then, and then during the day, right? It's the, that's when I pull out the lead core and I go down 3-4 colors and, a size 7 flicker shad, and I'm off and running, and I'm in, over deep structure, and we're going, and that lead core's running 25 feet.
But you might be over 80.
And I might be over 80. I may be over 40. I may be over 30. But it's usually those fish are somewhere around that 25-foot mark or so. And, and we're not talking hot and heavy, guys. We're not talking you're going to go out there and slay, 50 fish days this time of year doing this. When we transition, a little bit even later on in these concentrations of fish, then you are going to
When you're slabbing deeper, which we'll get into a little bit, you can pile them up.
Yeah, but now it's more, you're out there and most times it's better fish too.
We were out last week. It was about a week ago, and out for 4 hours. I think I put 14 in the boat, right? That's not bad.
Doing trolling at night?
Yeah.
So when did you guys do this?
That's pretty good. No,
I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go.
Me and my son.
He's got one other friend.
I was gonna say, he's got one other friend.
His son.
Some magic mouse in his pocket.
Shout out, Nick.
Yeah.
You guys don't get to go with me.
We kept saying we, and I'm looking at you going, geez, man, what the hell?
No, that was on purpose.
We do fish a lot without you knowing.
Yeah, we actually do. We're like, don't tell Josh.
That was a close one. Let's say Nick went with you.
Yeah, exactly, right.
I am not sure. Yeah. No, but no, it's... 12 to 14, weren't catch anything big, though. No. But it is a good time to catch some big ones.
What were you running for baits?
Smithwicks and Rapalus.
So going to stick baits.
Stick baits.
Back to stick baits.
And running them, we were running probably about 1.8. 1.5 to 1.8.
Right.
And we were running probably about that 3 to 5 foot water column.
And just to show you guys the difference, this is the exact same lake, which we're going to put out a video here probably within the next week and a half or so. That we did doing slow death on the exact same lake in 14, 15 foot of water or 20 foot of water, running bottom bouncers on the bottom.
So yeah, because we went out a few days before that.
So this is the same lake where we go out, we catch fish on the bottom, we catch fish
during the day.
And then at night, they're up in Smithwick Rogues, original
Rapalas.
How nice.
And anyways, they are, up in the first couple feet of the water column. So that's important to remember. I think a lot of people, really when it comes down to figuring out where the fish are, they kind of blow that one.
Well, in fishing at night, it's not the easiest for guys that don't do it right. It takes a little bit of getting used to, right?
It,
headlamps, if you're running boards, which we do with glow sticks.
Well, let's explain to them maybe a little bit and recap this glow stick thing, because I've seen a lot of people post in our groups, you know, I'm going to go at night. What should I do? I don't know how to do it. What do I do? And a lot of guys have some really great creative ways of doing it, you know. But a lot of them are a lot of work. You got to put stuff together. You know, they it's always everything is
rigged. The lights cost quite a bit of money.
Cost quite a bit of money, or their battery power, they'll go out, or if they get wet, they have issues.
Which they're great if that's what you want to use.
Sure, if that's what you want to do, that's cool. If you want to rig something up and be like MacGyver, you know, I'm down with that. But the big thing is, you know, we go cheap. We get those
dollar
store glow sticks that your kids put around their wrist, and chartreuse green is the best
by far.
Don't do red or blue or any of those. You won't see
purple.
Them.
You can't hardly see. But if I'm out of them, purple's going on.
Yeah,
something's
going to flash. But the chartreuse green definitely shows up the best.
By far.
And you know, those slots that are cut in the top of the flag on your boards, you stick them down in there, and you make sure they're halfway. So you got as much sticking out the bottom as you do the top, so it doesn't throw the weight of the board off. It doesn't fall. Because it will fall over one way.
It's the ones that are like an eighth inch thick.
It slides all the way down, and then you roll them out. And I'll tell you what, you can see those fish whack them. And it's really a good time when all of a sudden you see that glow stick disappear under the water.
Oh, it's like bobber fishing for me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, check it out.
Well, the thing that gets you too is when you're out there fishing and you're looking, watching your little soldiers. That's what we call our boards, is the soldiers out there working, right?
Yeah.
And you look out and you're watching them, and next thing you look, and maybe you've made an inside turn and you didn't know that your buddy made an inside turn. Now it's dropped back.
Right.
Not in your right position. You're looking out and it goes, where's that? Where's the board? Where's the board? Where's the board? Oh, yeah. There it is.
Yeah. Or the reflections in the moonlight.
Yeah.
It's right. Like all of a sudden the glow stick disappears. Like, wait, wait a minute. Where'd it go? Where'd it go?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah. Dang moon.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's transition for some night fishing. Okay. So now during the day, let's talk about what we would be doing, during the middle of the day.
Well, and I think during the middle of the day, you still don't rule out your slow death and your bottom bouncers.
That's
like
what
we
were doing.
And I don't think that is ruled out yet. I think that's still probably a good idea. Your spinners, stuff like that. But as we saw, by about 9:30, 10 o'clock, that bite was done. And we were done with that bite.
Did you notice the fish moved, or did they just stop?
No, biting? Well, no. I mean, they were still there, but they just weren't as active.
We found. So we started looking, and we started finding fish in that 18 to 22 foot now that were more
that
active.
That were at 14.
So they did drop.
That were at 14. Yeah, we still saw fish sitting in that 14. We just couldn't get them to go. So we decided to work the break deeper, deeper, deeper. We started getting fish to go at 18. Well, it was more like 20 range.
Yeah, 20, 21 were flagged.
We weren't getting them on death. We ended up parking on top of them, and we were doing slab. We're slabbing. Mm-hmm. I was using. What were you using? I don't remember.
Well, I was doing shiver first, and then I did. No, I did mostly shiver.
And I was using the puppet minnows from Northern Tackle. It's like
glide bait. Another glide bait. Yeah, it looks like the. Jigging wraps,
but it
worked well.
It worked great.
That worked really well.
It worked really good. Yep. We were catching fish every few minutes.
And when we talk about shivering, let's make sure everybody understands what we're talking about. So you take a shiver minnow, and if you don't know what that technique is, Keith Cavias probably does it some of the best. Him and Gary Parsons, and so anyways, you can do that on YouTube and see how they do it. But the goal is you cast it out. And you let it go all the way to the bottom. You reel up your slack, and then you give it from a nine to 11 jerk.
Quick.
And it's quick. It's quick. Hard.
It's like a pop.
And then you're snapping your rod tip back down, almost like a fly fisherman would mend his line. You're slapping it back straight down, and it creates that kind of loop that rolls out back towards your bait. And your bait is down there, and it's moving all sorts of different directions. If you reel up your slack, the bait won't work right. So you reel it up and you snap it back out.
No, you reel it up. You snap it up, you snap it back out.
Well, you reel it up initially so it's tight, so you can do the snap, and then you let it go. So when it finally hits the bottom, you'll see it. And you may have to reel up just a little bit of slack again, and then you snap it again. And what was happening with our bite is the fish were pinning it on the bottom.
Yeah.
So it was like we were jigging. So I would snap it, and I'd get it about halfway back to the boat, and then I would feel it bump, 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 bump. Bump, 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 as it's sitting on the bottom. And so what they're doing is they were pinning it to the bottom. So I would actually reel out my slack and set the hook like it was a jig bite because I could feel them bump, 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 like they're hitting live bait, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone hooked, you know, hooked in the top of the mouth, whatever. But a lot of times you will hook your fish or feel your fish when you're doing going up to do your next snap. They will have pinned it. You didn't feel the pin, and now you're hooking them.
Yeah. No, I caught all mine. I was using the Puppet Minnow, which Northland Tackle, too. They have, if you Google Puppet Minnow, they have three videos on different techniques. We could do the same techniques and show you. One of them is similar to what you're telling everybody about Kavayak. A little bit different,
right?
Because it's got the front hook and the shiver doesn't, but they react a lot of the same, pretty close. But watch this guy from Northland. He's awesome at it. I was like, wow, I didn't think of working it. He showed me something on it that I haven't had a chance to do it because, you know, I just haven't done it, but it's pretty interesting. Yeah. Some good stuff out there. Yeah. If you know where to find it, and that's good. So yeah. The Puppet Minnows are good.
And if you think you have to fish deep, like 20 feet to do this, especially if you're going to do a vertical, you don't have to. No. We were in 8 feet. We were on the top of a hump in 8 feet.
We started there. You were casting there. I was working the deep range.
Yes, I was working the 20. But then when we went up to the top, you were catching them directly below the boat, 8 feet of water, just working it up and down.
Especially when we moved over to, just to try it too, is a drop shot.
Yeah, and then we went over to the drop shot with the flat nose Berkeley Max Scent Minnow, and that was crazy. Yeah. I mean, we were vertically fishing that anywhere between 8 to 12, 13 feet of water below the boat.
Mm-hmm. What's funny is we couldn't
tight,
get
just working it.
We were working that drop shot, and we weren't catching them doing death. So that's the difference. So what's the difference in that? Think about that. They were chasing the baits before. Yep. Now they're locating the bait and taking it.
Almost like ice fishing.
Yeah, you know? Because with drop shot, you're not really moving much.
It all feels like, you know, even with depth, which you're not going very fast, 0.7, 0.8, you're covering water and it's moving to where it's like, I'll let that go. You know, they're not starving.
Yeah.
There's so much bait in the water still.
Right.
They were chasing early, but then they slowed down.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say earlier. This time of year, definitely those low light periods, morning, evening, so night, like we said,
right.
That they definitely key on that a lot more right now than, say, they do in May and June.
Right.
You're 100%.
Where that bite can go all day long.
Right.
So it totally makes sense to what you guys are doing. You know, one of the drop shot, it just gave him time to be like, look at that.
That thing's pissing me off.
It smells good and looks good, and I think I'll go eat it.
Yeah,
well,
and
think about it. When we're working back the jigging wraps or the puppet minnow, same type thing, we are working it back. I was doing it horizontal. So I was just working it below me, bam, bam, bam. Yep. So
again, it's there.
It was chasing it 3 feet, however far that thing was moving around on the bottom.
Right.
You were casting, and then you started going to the drop shot. Now, you were catching some shivering, but you did better at drop shot.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I love, and they were aggressive too. I mean,
so
they weren't.
Were you getting bass?
Yep.
Drop shot or both mixed in smallies and
in the walleye. We were, you know, our size. I mean, we were, some of them were insanely small, like 6-7 inches, right?
Oh, they were at least 8.
Yeah, they're standard for you.
Standard, yeah, standard 6 inches, and it's Mitch's 6 inches, so it's really 4. But it was
the exaggerator. Okay.
So it was very, we started getting, I think more of them were closer to that 14, 15 and started to go up from there doing the drop shot and the vertical.
Well, and think about the lake that we're in. 18 is a whopper in this lake. So when we're catching, I mean, there's 10 pounders.
There's just so many
there's
of those
so many
undersized
fish. There's so many of this 14 to 16 inch fish. So we're catching the average fish that are in there. So we're just out there for a fun day of fishing. People listen to this. Geez, you're catching a bunch of 14-inch. No, I love it. I would do that all day long.
Yeah, and we did do it all day long.
And this is the lake that's in the middle of a city, you know? So we don't have to go far. It's 10 minutes from the house. We're in the middle of a city. Let's go catch them.
When we do the video, I mean, we are dodging wake boats within 15, 20 feet of the boat. Full blast. Some guy waking. I mean, and you know, bilge pump running on my boat because it's constantly getting swamped. They're so close.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that you're
that
in a
drop
you're
shot
an urban
fish
lake
under a 4-foot wake boat wake as they go by.
That's
awesome. And so
that's what's awesome about it.
Yeah,
is because,
I mean, and we were
there's
hammering
walleye there, and we're getting them.
Yeah, we were hammering them. You know, and I think that's also another thing to touch on a little bit while we're talking about this is, I think one of the things that people have a misconception about with walleyes is that they are just so spooky. I don't think these fish are that spooky. Not just our fish because they're used to it or whatever. I think most walleyes in most places are not that spooky. A buddy of ours who's a big fan of our podcast who lives in Utah, shout out to Andy. He sent some video to me where he dropped his camera and put a bait on the end to see if the wall, and the fish came up and inspected the end of the camera. And he tried to put it to the line, came up to see, and he wanted to troll and kind of see if he could get it, you know. But it was really cool. And he got great images of nice fish. And so pretty cool because, you know, there you go. It was a very, very interesting thing to see these fish. I mean, they could care less.
Well, that's a cool thing for me. In the last, you know, probably 5-8 years, whatever, there's just so much more underwater video of walleyes. And it's cool just to see them. To try to understand them more.
Right. Hey, I don't want people to take away though that there's times you need to be stealthy though. That's why we run like the fluorocarbon.
Sure, absolutely.
Because you're trying to make that bait that you're using look as natural as possible, right? Or you're not trying to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're catching their eye. You're catching their intrigue. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing is they may see it and not react to it right away, but they saw it. You know, it's like when you watch the ice fishing videos or you see them through the ice. Mm-hmm. They see it. You know they see it. It's sitting right in front of them. Northerns do it too. Probably muskie do it. I mean, probably most of them, right? They see it. They see it in front of them. They see it bobbing. They see it moving. And then all of a sudden, that strike is so fast. Boom. They're on it. Mm-hmm. And it's off and running.
It's awesome when they just...
And I think the drop shot's a great example. I know that's what they do with the, you know, with the different vertical presentations with either being a jigging spoon, which we haven't even talked about, but that's probably going to be in fall number two.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. We're getting so long on this one. We only have another couple minutes to talk here. We'll talk about fishing deeper in the next one. Exciting. I mean, we're going to talk about probably slab and spoon.
Yeah, I mean, right? You guys, there's a whole nother part to transitioning into fall that is slabbing. And then
there's transitioning probably one and two, and then there's fall bite.
Yep.
So don't get them confused because there's definitely...
There's definitely a way to go with it. And sometimes...
There's fall bite... trolling for trophies too. Yeah. So there's really? Four or five fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's stay here all day. Yeah. We'll get a 12 reach. Yeah. And we'll just keep talking.
Just keep going. And it's gonna sound a little bit worse.
Because I'm getting excited. Yeah. If we have that much time, we should be out on the water.
Well, if we stack up all those podcasts, so by about October, that October one's gonna sound pretty bad because we're all gonna be slurring and you know everything Brad says will be funny. We'll be like, that was awesome. So yeah, no, that is a whole fun, exciting separate time on its own because, man, you can get on a pile of fish and just load a boat in minutes. And old partner and I fished a fall classic here in Colorado on a lake that we knew pretty well. And
I want an overnight fall classic. That's what we talked about.
And you're going to keep interrupting over there. You're going to let me finish. So anyways.
An overnight fall classic.
And so anyways.
You want to time how much time all of us talked during the podcast.
Anyways. Well, when you have more information than the other two to add, it's what happens. So anyways, we fished a tournament and we were slabbing over and we were creeping around an area that we knew the fish would be. And at first it was slow. And then finally we hit that spot and loaded up the boat. By within 45 minutes, tournament over, day over, and won the tournament in 45 minutes.
It can happen that quick.
It was that fast. I mean, it was over. Done.
All tournaments are like that. That's why, and we'll wrap it up after this, but just, this was a early summer tournament that we were in. Mm-hmm. And I know this is fall transition, but same thing. We have, kickoff was 7. I think we got out like 10 minutes early. 8:15, done.
Done. Sitting there.
We're trying to find it. We're working our area. Okay, they're not here. We get to third spot, 3. Bam.
Whack, whack, whack.
Done. We're like, okay, this is what it looks like when you're done at 8:15. Yep. You got a full box plus your overs or plus your upgrades. You're like, what do we do now? Yeah. Well, the weigh station doesn't open for an hour and a half. I guess we're going to have breakfast and listen to music.
When we talked about breaking out the ski and going blasting everybody
else. Those are good
else.
Days. Those are good days. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up tonight talking about fall transition 1. Join us next time, too, because we'll move it right into 2. Things are starting to happen pretty fast with the shorter days and things cooling down. There's a lot of things that we're going to be changing up right now, but we want to keep you back on those walleye. And you know, best way to get out there is get out on the water. So that's rule number 1.
Yeah, rule number 1. And we'll transition in, and, you know, before you know it, somebody might be getting a little bit of snow or a cold front, and then we're way into fall bite. So
love it. Yeah. All right, have a good night.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time, where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.